It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Boy, have we got an unusual topic today. Today we're going to talk about dreams, more specifically God communicating through dreams. Now that may sound unusual in the sense that you don't hear people talk about it much, but it was not an unusual topic in the Bible. It's all over the Bible, and that's where we'll begin today. First, a very important disclaimer. The Bible makes it clear that being a Christian is not some mere belief or doctrine or creed. Neither is it a set of teachings we accept on blind faith. The Bible promises a living, loving relationship with God, and it's a God who actually speaks. Now, that idea I've talked about before. You may recall from a previous show me pointing out how so many people assume that the notion of God talking is weird or bizarre, unusual. But we talk all the time as human beings, and are we capable of doing something our Creator cannot do? And as I've made it clear in previous shows, if God can talk, He will talk because He has so much to say, so many important things He wants to communicate. Still, there are many Christians, many pastors, as a matter of fact, who will say that the Bible is enough. Now, the Bible's very important. I just finished a series on the importance of reading the Bible and reading it correctly. Yes, the Bible is extremely important. But some will say that everything God wanted to tell us, He already told us in the Bible. Let me be clear on this. They are partly right and partly wrong. Here's the part where they're right. It's true that all doctrinal revelation has been closed. All the doctrines are found in the Scripture. Paul warns us in the book of Galatians against any who would preach a different gospel, a new gospel, even if it comes from an angel. There are fallen angels. There are deceptive spirits. One can claim they talked to an angel. One can claim they got a vision. One can claim they heard an audible voice. The source of the experience must be questioned, especially if it's teaching something that contradicts the Bible. If somebody were to say, well, actually, all religions are a path to God. When Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life, that wasn't really true. Buddha and Muhammad, they're paths to God too. Or if somebody says, well, actually, you've read in the Bible that there's a Trinity, but there are really four persons in the Trinity, not three. Which means you can't call it a Trinity anymore because Trinity means three. Well, if you hear that, you know it's not coming from God. Yes, we must be very clear on this point. Doctrinal revelation is finished. Doctrinal revelation, the theologies we believe, those are closed. Those are found in the Bible. The Bible is the word of God on such matters. The final word of God on such matters. However, what about personal revelation in which God is guiding decisions about just you and your life? That is another matter altogether. Here, God wants to communicate, and He has different modes of communication. He can speak to you in an audible voice. He can speak to you in a vision. We're told that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us if we've given our lives to Christ. He can run His thoughts through your mind, and that is the primary method of communication, according to Jesus. But it's not the only one. It's not limited to that. Another way God frequently speaks, dreams. Now, we do need to be careful. We can't go overboard here. We can't assume that every time a person dreams, God is speaking to them. So this is where I will begin. Sometimes a dream means nothing. Dreams are still a mystery to psychiatrists and psychologists. Years ago, I had the opportunity to get to know a psychologist who actually specialized in dream research. He admitted what a mystery it was. Now, this was a long time ago. They've probably learned a lot since then. But there was a working theory at that time that the mind, acting like a tape recorder, will, while we're sleeping, erase excess information. And if we start to awaken while that excess information is being erased and we're in that state where we're partially awake and partially asleep, that will become a dream. That's why, according to this theory, dreams are confusing. Sometimes you wake up, you know you had a powerful dream, you don't even remember what it was. Other times you remember parts of it, but you started out in one location, you ended up in another location. There was one person in your dream, that person became somebody else. None of that seemed strange at the time, but when you think back, it makes no sense. That was one of the theories. So yes, sometimes we just dream. And one of the things people say all the time about God and religion is they go, hey man, it's all in your mind. Well, my friend, everything you experience in life goes through your mind. All of your senses, the sense of taste, the sense of smell, everything goes through the mind. So we don't equate the word brain with illusion. And the scripture is full of examples of God speaking to people through dreams. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that dreams will be one of the things that characterizes this last age. By the way, we've been living in the last age ever since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Many people today equate the term last days with that generation that will see Christ return. Well, there will be a generation that sees Christ return. It may be our generation. It may be a future generation. It may not happen for 1,000 years. But the term last days refers to this new covenant ever since the first coming of Jesus. And one of the conditions of this new covenant is that we will experience dreams. Now, Peter referred to all kinds of other things we'll experience too, but dreams was on the list. And dreams are throughout the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. There was a warning given to King Abimelech. He had stolen Abraham's wife, Sarah. God warned him in the dream to let her go. Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, he had that dream where he saw a stairway going up into heaven. Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, had that dream that they made the musical out of. That dream in which he saw his brothers bowing down to him. Joseph was an interpreter of dreams in Egypt. Daniel was an interpreter of dreams in Babylon. Both men were given prestigious positions in the government because of their abilities to interpret the dreams of the kings who were confused when they had their dreams. Of course, there's also a Joseph in the New Testament, the father of Jesus, the adopted father of Jesus. He was commanded in a dream to keep Mary as his wife. Later on in that same narrative, the wise men were warned in a dream to escape the wrath of King Herod. Peter was given a dream that opened up the gospel to the Gentiles. He was literally commanded through a dream to go and preach to a Gentile centurion named Cornelius. My friends, if every instance of dreams were removed from the Bible, we'd be missing a lot.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
And continue with dreams, we establish how prominent dreams were in the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament. There are multiple purposes for dreams. One of them would be prophetic implications, the calling into some kind of ministry. Lauren Cunningham started the ministry Youth with a Mission, an incredible ministry where college students sailed around the world on luxury liners. On this boat, while they were sailing, they were getting trained in evangelism. Then they'd stop all over the world, go offshore. They'd share the gospel with people. A very creative ministry, a very vibrant ministry. It began with a dream, according to Mr. Cunningham. One night he had this dream that he was standing on the beach and literal waves of people, thousands and thousands of people making up the ocean waves, were being spilled onto the shores. He prayed about it. He pursued counsel. He realized that God was calling him into the very interesting ministry I just described to you. Dreams can also be warnings. They can help get people out of tough spots. I mentioned that right after the wise men went and visited Joseph and Mary, they were warned in a dream to flee the wrath of King Herod. Joseph and Mary were warned in a similar dream. They went to Egypt, and then when the coast was clear, when they could return to Judea, God communicated with them again through a dream. But here's a question I get all the time. Bob, why wouldn't God just speak more plainly? He could communicate in so many different ways. Dreams can be confusing. Dreams need prayer. They need figuring out exactly. But my friend, that can be a good thing. A dream provokes a Christian to ponder, reflect, seek counsel, interact with other Christians, to examine the meaning. Sometimes a dream can be external. We could be dreaming about something that has nothing to do with us personally, but God is still giving us a prediction of the future. Daniel had a vision where he saw four different kingdoms, and he used this to give prophecies about what would happen to his people Israel. I mentioned that it was through a dream Peter was commanded to go and speak to the first Gentile about Jesus Christ, and he led him to the Lord. So yes, oftentimes a dream is external, having nothing to do with us, but it could also be internal, something about our inner being. Here's what's interesting, and we've all discovered this. While we're dreaming, we don't know we're dreaming. What you do in a dream, the choices you make, the way you react, the way you feel, your decision-making, it is the same in a dream as it would be in real life, except it's not in real life. God could use a dream as a field maneuver. Just like when you join the military service, you go on field maneuvers before you go in battle to test your skills, your abilities, your courage. You learn things about yourself in a dream. I'll never forget one night I was dreaming. I was living in Santa Barbara at the time, coming back to our townhouse. I did not know it was a dream. I heard my wife screaming upstairs. Somebody had broken into our house. Somebody was attacking my wife. Now, as a male growing up in America with my favorite TV shows and books and movies and watching heroes and admiring courage, I, like most men, probably like all men, at times wonder, would I rise during a certain situation? Well, I did. I immediately ran upstairs ready to pull this guy off my wife, and I didn't know if he had a gun or what. Then, of course, I woke up. This did not really happen. No one had broken into our home. My wife was not attacked, but here's the thing, folks. I thought she had been. In that dream, I was reacting as if it had really happened. And now I knew, given those situations, I would, with the grace of God, rise to the occasion. Well, like I said, that was only a dream. But the next time it happened, it wasn't a dream. I was thrown into a situation very much like that. Different circumstances. I wasn't coming home. I was working in my office at the church at night. I heard somebody screaming. At first, I thought, well, it might just be a couple of teenagers out goofing around. But then it turned into a blood-curdling scream. Somebody, a young woman, was crying out, "Help me, please, somebody help me." Did I feel frightened? Of course I felt frightened. It was very much like in the dream. I closed the door of my office, ran outside toward the direction down the street of the scream. I didn't know what I was going to encounter. Would it be one perpetrator? Would it be several? Would it be a bunch? I had no idea. It turned out to be just one person. He was standing over a woman, bending her arm back. There actually were a couple of people across the street just watching, not doing anything. I ran up and I said, "What's going on here?" The guy got scared. He ran off. I brought the woman back to the church. She called the police and then made a report. So there's a story of something that happened to me only in a dream, followed by a story of something that really happened to me. Different details, different circumstances, but very much the same from my point of view. A time calling for courage with the help of the Lord. My dream, my field maneuver, prepared me for the real thing. Dreams are not always so easy to interpret, however. We will talk about some interpretation principles, and I'll help you to unlock the mystery of dreams.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Hi. I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes. What's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Fire that is burning, from the ashes we
we conclude our series on dreams. So where have we gone so far with this? We've established that God does speak through dreams. This is all over the Bible. We've also talked about the reasons God will give us dreams. However, we've also acknowledged that sometimes a dream is just a dream, and that's probably the way it is 90% of the time. And so, when you're having a dream, how do you go about determining whether the dream did come from God, whether it is something important, or whether it was just your everyday run-of-the-mill dream? First of all, evaluate the likelihood that you might have had this dream on your own. Were you dreaming about people or events or thoughts that had been on your mind before you went to sleep or the last day or the last previous days? If that's the case, then in all likelihood, it's just your regular dream. But here's something else. Evaluate the frequency of the dream. Is it a recurring dream? When I was younger, much younger, I mean in grade school, I used to have a dream that I was living in the woods. Every night I would come home from chopping wood to this little log cabin. In the window was an older lady in a rocking chair. I didn't know who she was. That is, when I woke up, I couldn't remember who she was. But in the dream, she was somebody I always knew. She would give me a warm smile from the window, from the rocking chair, when I was returning with the wood. All I knew is that this was a lady I was taking care of. I dreamed that for the longest time and never knew what it meant. Many years later, when my dad passed away and my mother became involved in my life again, I told you that my parents had disowned me for becoming a Christian. I was going out to Oceanside to take care of my mother, and when I would approach, I would sometimes see her sitting by the window waiting for me. I realized that this had been a dream about my mother. I didn't recognize her in the dream because when I was little having the dream, my mother was a young woman, not an old woman. And yes, in the dream, it was in the woods, it was a little bit different, but I have no doubt that God was telling me ahead of time about this special time I would have with my mother late in her life, taking care of her. Now, there are some easy things we can do if for one reason or another we're dreaming about some person and this person had not been on our mind. We could always go and ask them. The Bible does tell us that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. By the way, that doesn't always have to happen just with dreams. I remember one time I was at a small prayer meeting. There was a woman in our group named Lisa, a college student. I just had this feeling something was going on with her. Well, instead of saying something grandiose like, "Thus saith the Lord, something be going on with you," I just turned her and I said, "Lisa, is something going on with you?" You should have seen the look on her face and the way she shook her head. So God will do that, and he likes us to take it to the body. So if you're dreaming about somebody and they had not been on your mind, go and talk to them. Really fascinating time. My wife and I were good friends with another couple, but we'd had some issues. I won't get into what they are. They're private. I'm not even going to mention the names, but there were some things we needed to clear the air and talk about. I had this dream that the four of us were at the wild animal park, walking around, enjoying the time. Now, we had been there with them before, and the husband and I were walking separately from my wife and the other wife. I started bringing up what was on my mind in the dream and then suddenly awakened. But not long after I woke up, my wife told me that they had called earlier that morning and had wanted to go to the wild animal park. I had no doubt that my dream came from God, and while we were there, I did clear the air and I did have that talk with the husband. Of course, we can dream about all kinds of things. It's not necessarily going to be about some other person. You can always bring your dream before the body of Christ and have them pray with you and pray over you. Maybe you'll have somebody gifted. And of course, if the dream suddenly comes true, it's God's way of showing you that you're in the right place at the right time. You're going to love this story. I was out at UCSD starting my campus church. We were meeting in a small little grove of woods on the campus, Student Center B. We had some guests. One of the members of our church had a friend of hers visiting from out of town. I was actually talking about dream interpretation. This young undergrad came up to me afterwards. She said, "This is so weird because I had a dream that I was on this retreat in the woods and somebody was talking about dream interpretation. I suddenly realized this is where I was in my dream." I didn't recognize it as a campus because we don't usually associate woods with a college campus, but you were the one in the dream speaking about dream interpretation. I wonder what that means. I said, well, bottom line, it means that you were meant to be here today and you were meant to hear this lecture for one reason or another. If I'd wanted to be exploitive, I could have said, oh, well, I think it means that God wants you to give me a lot of money. But I didn't do that. All right. I hope this brief series has helped. God communicates in many marvelous ways. One of them is through dreams.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.